Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I have been bringing messages for a series entitled Seven Symptoms of a Sinking Society. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 3 states, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7 states, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah was warned of God, Noah was moved by fear, and Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. There are two things which shall surely take place. Number one, the severe divine judgment of America, and I believe that we have experienced a foretaste of it already. Number two, the return of Jesus Christ. Which one of these shall be first? I do not know, but both shall come to pass. Seven symptoms of a sinking society. Number one, a great preoccupation with eating, drinking, and playing. Number two, an excessive decoration with ornaments. Number three, the constant congregation for worldly activities. People might act as though that they don't have any time for God and for church, while at the same time, they have plenty of time for worldly activities. I've started dealing with number four, the attempts at the elimination of God-given roles and boundaries. Attempts have been made through indoctrination, intimidation, and legislation. First of all, the roles of man and woman. We need Christian men to do their God-given duties, and we need Christian women to do their God-given duties. We need men to lead in homes and churches and governments. We don't need women in combat positions and in high places of leadership in the military. Someone might say, what about Deborah? And thank the Lord for Deborah. In that case, apparently Barak had been negligent of his duty to obey God's command to go to war against an enemy. And Deborah confronted him about it, and he said to her, "If thou wilt go with me, then will I go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." And Deborah said that she would go, but she said that the journey would not be for his honor, and even added this reason, "For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Sisera was the captain of an enemy army. It should have made Barak ashamed that he, a military leader, had failed to do his duty and even refused to go to do his duty unless Deborah, a woman, went with him. That is not an example of the way it ought to be. Let us pray that God will raise up some Christian men to lead in homes, to lead in churches, to lead in government in America. Here's a quotation from Miss Nell Hart that was in a local paper. The title of the article was, "Are Women in Rebellion and Men in Retreat?" Quote, "Is man resorting to effeminate natures as a reaction to the rebellion of women? Look at the young men with long hair, ponytails, earrings, and other girlish things. Can you see the Senate and the House of Congress tomorrow filled with men dressed in this manner?" End of quote. Secondly, the attempts at the elimination of or undermining of the God-given roles of parents and children. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." God placed the parents in authority over the children. But in some cases, you might see that a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old rules the home. In Isaiah 3, which told of God taking away men from Judah and Jerusalem, in verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient." The framers of the Constitution were wise to put some age restrictions in the Constitution. House of Representatives, 25 years old at least. Senate, at least 30 years of age. Presidency, at least 35 years of age. Today, if I had the power to do so, I might add at least 10 years to every one of those ages. Young children are not supposed to be on an equal plane with or ruling over their parents. Note the words of Howard Whitman. Dr. Freedom Kim has put it this way: a child doesn't need another playmate. He needs a parent, an adult parent. Too many of us have made the mistake of taking the parents down to the child's level instead of offering the child a blueprint for adulthood. End of quote. I don't know who she was, but I believe she gave some truth. Of the life of a normal 75-year-old, childhood is a relatively small part of his life, and parents should be training their children during childhood to prepare them for adulthood. For a normal 75-year-old, he would have about 30% of that time to be trained and to grow up, so that for the remaining 70% of that time, he was a responsible adult. Mrs. Hillary Clinton wrote a book entitled It Takes a Village. I looked at the book years ago and noted that it was laced with socialism. If one takes a socialistic view to child rearing and believes that the children are the nation's most valuable resource, then it could be understandable to think that the children belong to the society and the society should help rear them. Instead of a village to help rear children, what most children need are a good father, a good mother, and a good church. Parents have trusted experts, falsely so-called, and those experts, falsely so-called, have failed them. Parents have trusted left-leaning educators, and those left-leaning educators have failed them. So where else can they turn? Should legislators be called upon to enact laws and to provide more programs and training for struggling parents? That is a socialistic approach. Get the village more involved is a socialistic approach. In a book written by Mr. John A. Stormer, a Dr. Lurie is quoted as saying, "There is serious thinking among child researchers that we cannot trust the family alone to prepare young people for the new kind of world. Not only are parents unnecessary, but they are too inept to rear their children." End of quote. The idea of parents having licenses has been put forth years ago, and a bill was reported to have been introduced into the Minnesota State Legislature. Listen to this quotation, quote, "Under Lincoln's system, if children were born to unlicensed parents, the state would intervene immediately. Licenses would be checked in hospital maternity wards. Unlicensed parents would lose their children permanently." End of quote. God gives children to parents, and he gives parents the responsibility to train up their children in the way that they should go. Parents, your child is yours. It is not the government's. This battle for our children has gone on for years. Here's a write-up dated June 1994 on the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. You might say, "Brother, that is old news. Why bring it up now?" The battle is real and the battle is ongoing. I think it can help illustrate the fact that this battle has been going on for years. If some of the wicked in this world cannot get control of our children through intimidation and indoctrination, then they might push for legislation. Way back in 1994, according to this document, 50 senators were on record as co-sponsors calling for President Clinton to send the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child to the Senate for ratification. All children were to be registered. Children were to be allowed freedom of expression and freedom of thought, freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, freedom of association, and the state was to be a co-parent with the parents for the children. Why would this have even been given serious consideration in 1994? There have been attempts at the elimination of and the undermining of the God-given roles of parents and children. This did not start yesterday. It has been going on in government schools for years. And then the third thing, the attempts at the elimination of the boundaries between nations. There has been a push for soft borders, porous borders, or even no borders. America needs to get some things right within her borders, and she needs to protect her borders. Genesis chapter number 10, verse number 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. After the flood, nations were formed. Before Babel, the people were together and had already become corrupt, and God scattered the people and the nations were formed. Did God have anything to do with the forming of nations? Listen to this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and verse number 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I believe that when God divided the land for the nations, he had Israel in mind, which was not even in existence yet. Acts chapter number 17, verses 26 and 27. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. There were nations formed fairly early in the history of the world. Some of those nations have continued on and shall be here in the kingdom. There was a reason for God scattering the people and assigning pieces of property for particular nations. The Lord wanted men to seek after him. This nation does not need to have a porous border. It needs to have a protected border.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.